I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday. It is March, the 2nd of March. All things political coming up this hour, which you always hear on Mondays at 1 o'clock. And Craig Gilbert is our guest. I do want to remind you that this is the last of our winter pledge drive, our membership drive, and we would love to have you give your gift during All Things Political. Our number, just keep it in mind, is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or you can always go to WPR.org. Craig Gilbert joins us frequently for All Things Political. Terrific writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Washington Bureau Chief there. He writes the Wisconsin Voter blog about politics and elections. Wisconsin, no surprise, is becoming a decidedly conservative state. And Governor Walker, Craig writes, the most conservative governor Wisconsin has had in decades. In yesterday's front page story, Craig starts writing about Governor Walker's 13 years in the state assembly, the longest chapter of his career, and what it tells us about the politics of a man who has soared to the frontier of the Republican presidential field. There will be more articles. The governor received quite a bit of national attention in the past few days for these comments. I want a commander-in-chief who will do everything in their power to ensure that the threats from radical Islamic terrorists do not wash up on American soil. If I can take on 100,000 protesters, I can do the same across the world. The governor later said this was not meant to compare the union protest to terrorism, but to show he could respond firmly in high-pressure situations. In the CPAC straw poll over the weekend, Walker came in second, not far behind Rand Paul. Other topics we'll talk about this hour. Homeland Security funds have been okayed, but just for a week. What's going to happen on Friday of this week? And will former Senator Russ Feingold run against Senator Ron Johnson? We'll be welcoming your phone calls, and I'm sure there will be many. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for you to be on air with us this hour, and we would love to hear from you. Craig, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, nice to have you. And you have no shortage of things to write about these days, do you, sir?
No, it's like a never-ending tidal wave.
I'm sure it is. You talk about foreign policy being an obvious hole in Governor Walker's political resume. What is he doing to beef up his foreign policy credentials? And did he do himself more damage than good with that comment about the protesters?
Well, there's sort of two tracks for him on foreign policy. In terms of getting up to speed, and one is kind of an internal track, which is obviously just doing his homework, hiring foreign policy advisors, figuring out who his informal foreign policy circle of advisors is, getting up to speed in specific foreign policy issues. And then there's the public side, which is how he talks about foreign policy. And again, that's really both a question of what he has to say in a concrete way about the foreign policy problems the country and issues the country has, and also what he has to say about his ability to be a foreign policy president, given the fact that he's a governor without any real obvious foreign policy experience. So he's sort of trying to operate on those tracks, and as he does it, it's, you know, sometimes a bumpy process because these are not, unlike so many things that he spent so much time talking about, these aren't issues that he's fluent in, these aren't issues that he's had to deal with every day. He's also, you know, I think some of the things that are perceived as maybe missteps or reaches are the result of not having a foreign policy portfolio, not having a foreign policy history, so trying extra hard to sort of make the case that he can that he can do foreign policy. Now, I mean, he's obviously not the first governor who's been in this situation, but as he's tried to address that, he's, you know, said some things that have gotten some attention and some criticism. You mentioned the one at CPAC, which came in the question and answer session after about a 13-minute speech that he gave, where he talked about a matter of sort of showing toughness and leadership and taking on the terrorists, and then his comment that if I can deal with the protesters the way I did in Wisconsin, then I can do this, something similar across the world. He's also, you know, some people have not you know, have questioned his argument that having, you know, the governor who gets briefings from the FBI and from his National Guard adjutant general, that's sort of a credential when it comes to being grounded in foreign policy. He's had some, you know, aggressive interviews. Martha Raddatz from ABC several weeks ago. Chris Wallace from Fox News. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a process for him.
Well, you have to wonder though, because he's brought up this union thing in subsequent days when he talked about Ronald Reagan firing the air traffic controllers and how that was such an important foreign policy decision, and you know, in some ways led to the end of the Soviet Union. It's hard for me to believe that those aren't carefully thought out comments rather than off-the-cuff comments.
Well, I think they're thought out in the sense that he has to consider how he can sell himself on this issue, and so he's a governor. There's no getting around that. So he finds himself making these arguments because they're kind of the arguments that are available to him as a governor. That hey, Ronald Reagan was a governor. It didn't stop him, and also the argument that there are ways in which Ronald Reagan kind of showed leadership that weren't obviously foreign policy matters, but that had foreign policy implications. He's not the only person that's ever made the claim that the air traffic controllers episode, enhanced Ronald Reagan's kind of credibility around the world in some way, but he's taken that a little bit further. We had a long kind of PolitiFact item about his claim that Soviet documents exist showing the Soviets started, you know, kind of taking Ronald Reagan more seriously after that incident. There is no such documentation that we've been able to find or that other people have been able to find. So, again, he's gotten, I think it's been a little bit of a reach in some cases rhetorically when he's talked about this. It's partly a consequence of having to try harder to have a foreign policy message and a foreign policy sales pitch to voters when you're a governor.
Explain to me, Craig, why he is really in the top tier of candidates. He didn't come in too far behind Rand Paul, in the CPAC straw poll over the weekend. Why? What's his message that's resonating?
I think it's, you know, more than anything he's saying, I think he's just got this narrative which is irresistible to a lot of Republican primary voters and conservative activists, which is, you know, winning these series of elections in Wisconsin. Some people think of Wisconsin, I think, deceptively as this kind of, you know, reliable, consistent liberal bastion, which it isn't. But the fact that Wisconsin has that image for some people and the fact that it's been voting president or Democratic for president since 1988 is a pretty good talking point for him to say, I won three elections in 4 years. Obviously, the recall is a great story for Republican primary to tell Republican primary voters. The issue of combating, you know, public employee unions are a big deal for a lot of Republican and conservative voters. They're kind of across the board in the Republican coalition. They're kind of a target or at least a perceived problem. And so the fact that he defeated, neutralized, eviscerated, whatever verb you want to use, the public employee unions is a huge credential for the kinds of voters and the activists we're talking about that it will influence the nominating contest. So I think more than anything, it's his narrative. It's sort of the last 5 years. And because he's had the Republicans have had a lock on the legislature, he can reel off a whole list of policy items that are like a conservative checklist, from abortion to voter ID to the union stuff to tax cuts. That's great fodder if you're going in front of a Republican audience or an audience of conservative activists like CPAC.
And does it make a difference if you change your mind on certain issues like immigration reform, like right to work legislation, or not?
It depends. I mean, I think he's this is doesn't happen every day, but yesterday on Fox News he just said, I flat out changed my position on immigration, but he's moving in a more conservative direction. So A, that's probably less problematic than changing your mind and moving in a more liberal direction. There may be some voters who are wary of that, because of the things he said in the past. Similar on Common Core, where he's has sort of mixed positions on Common Core in terms of his record. But I don't think any of that stuff is necessarily disqualifying for a lot of Republican voters. I think they're, you know, what is more of a important threshold for him to meet with those voters, because he does, I don't think he's going to have a problem with his conservative credentials. I think, you know, the bigger challenge for him, the more important challenge, is sort of rising to the level of a presidential campaign, performing well in the media, on the campaign trail, not continuing to have these little moments or little flaps or whatever you want to call them that get written about, and performing as a candidate and satisfying those voters that he's electable, that he can win, and that he's presidential.
We welcome your phone calls for Craig. Craig, I don't know if you saw yesterday's front page story, but I'm beginning to think it'll be the beginning of a series of articles. Craig wrote about Governor Walker being, during his years in the Assembly, a staunch conservative, as staunch as he is now. It's been 13 years since Governor Scott Walker left the Wisconsin Assembly, Craig writes. His time there represents the longest chapter of his career. What does it tell us about the politics of a man who has soared to the frontier of the Republican presidential field? We won't only be talking about this issue, but the governor has been making so much news, and after all, he is shot to the frontier of presidential candidates for 2016, and he's the governor of Wisconsin as well. So we are spending a bit of time on that at the top of the show. And welcome to your phone calls. What do you think of his statements? Why do you think he is such an attractive candidate to many conservative Republicans? Can he go beyond that base? What do you think of what's likely to happen this week? Wisconsin is becoming a decidedly conservative state. Do you think that that's a good thing? Are you in favor of right to work? Are you in favor of what happened with public unions? What about environmental issues, et cetera? And how will he be able to govern? If you're running for president, it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. What happens when he's out campaigning, if indeed he does announce to the state of Wisconsin during that time period? Well, we'd love to hear from you, and here's how we hear from you. Call us. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Craig Gilbert is our guest for All Things Political. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Washington Bureau Chief will be with you in a little while. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Craig Gilbert, our guest for All Things Political. Tons of phone calls. Stay where you are. We'll be with you momentarily. KP Whaley is joining me in our Milwaukee studios, and this is the last day of our winter membership drive. Your contribution keeps All Things Political and all the other issues that we talk about and Wisconsin Public Radio a vital force. $5, $10, $20 a month, every gift in any amount makes a huge difference. Donate now, WPR.org. 888-202-2552 is the number.
The last day is always the most fun, too. Isn't
are you
it,
having
Kathleen?
Fun?
Yes.
This okay.
is the great,
you look
this
like
is the
you're
best part
fun.
Of the place drive. Last day, we heard from 19 members last hour. Thank you so much for your gift. And we have a hefty goal this hour, Kathleen.
Oh, we do?
50 pledges.
Oh, my.
But our listeners are already coming through. We've got 9 already.
Thank you for those
pledges.
Support this station that you really do love and help us meet the goal, which is lofty, but we can do it. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, listening to WPR is kind of like tuition-free, lifelong education.
It is.
All you really need is a radio or a computer or a cell phone, mobile device, and you can listen to WPR all the time.
And it's your support that makes our lifelong learning, because I'm learning too, KP, we're all learning all the time. It makes this available to you and hundreds of thousands of other people as well. And it's amazing. You have the power to share information and learning with a huge community of thinking people when you support WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been saying all along the drive that you decide on the amount of your pledge, and it's true. any amount really does make a difference, and every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs that you enjoy here on WPR. And during this drive, you can also pick up this very cool T-shirt, I Love WPR T-shirt, with a gift of $120 or more.
Yeah, and somebody put a comment saying, I really want one of those T-shirts.
There
well,
you go.
Maybe you
Here's
do,
your
too.
Chance.
Absolutely. Here it is. It's dark heather gray. It's USA made.
Yes.
Printed here in Wisconsin. So show your love for WPR. Ask for the T-shirt when you give $120 a month. It's or 120 or more, which is $10 a month, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I don't think that people fully understand that Wisconsin Public Radio is really the basis from which it all began. I'm constantly telling people that you've got a tremendous resource here. You don't have to contribute. I mean, you can go ahead and take the service for free. I tell them, I contribute so you can listen. That always gets them. Here's this tremendous amount of information, which is commercial-free. It's annoyance-free, certainly. And I've got this terrible aversion to commercials, both on television and especially radio. I don't think the people really understand the value that you have right here just flipping on the radio.
You may have heard Wisconsin is having a debate about the level of funding for Wisconsin public broadcasting, and it could lead to a significant decrease in state support. That funding has been essential to delivering programs like this one throughout the state.
And Wisconsin public broadcasting is working hard to address the challenge as the budget process goes forward. And listener support continues to be a vital part of the WPR budget. Your donation is really more important than ever at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're asking for your gift for listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this winter membership drive. Today is the last day. Your pledge may be $5 a month or $100 a month, but we appreciate, and actually we count on your gift.
That's right. We hear from a lot of first-time pledgers who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college and can finally afford to give. Or people who maybe have turned, 30 and realized, hey, I'm grown up now, and it's time to give to WPR.
Giving money to something you believe in, a service you rely on, it's a great way to commemorate a new phase of your life. And it's always a new phase of your life. Every day is, right? You decide the amount, $5 a month is an example of what many first-time donors give, and then go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, because you listen to WPR every day, it's pretty safe to say that it's an fundamental part of your life. It's maybe the soundtrack to your day.
Your day is better with the soundtrack. Joy Cardine, Larry Mueller, this program, these shows are like guideposts throughout your day that you count on for information or interesting ideas or things that make you laugh. Support your daily dose of WPR, this soundtrack that's very important in your life, with your gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And giving couldn't be any easier. It just takes a few minutes of your time. You tell us your name, your contact information, how you'd like to give, and how much you'd like to pay. You can give a one lump sum, or better yet, you could become a monthly sustainer. No matter how you choose to give or how much you give, use the next few minutes here to support the station that you count on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 39 more pledges.
39.
For until the top of the hour here. You might have donated a few years ago and you feel like, I donated, that's it, thank you very much. But you enjoy listening to WPR year after year, so it's your continued support.
If it's been a while since you donated, this really is the perfect time to give again. Again, it's the last chance you can give for all things political at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and we'll be glad to have you back.
We sure will, and we're offering something very special. You can show off your WPR pride with the I Love WPR T-shirt. It's yours for a pledge of $120, $10 a month. You can wear it. It can be your outfit for days and days and days, so you got a wardrobe. and you're helping us. It's good.
You can show your pride around town.
Absolutely. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer already, you can become one as well right now. It's easy to set up a convenient ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Your pledge is very, very important. I'm a longtime listener, Benita from Madison says, and supporter. Thanks, Benita. And many of you are the same. We thank you so much. How do they call again, KP?
Again, it's 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for all that you do. Craig Gilbert is our guest for All Things Political. We have a ton of phone calls. We will go right to them, and we'll start our phone calls with Ruth in Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. So what I was wondering, when Scott Walker was in the legislature, it seems to me there were a number of times that the state employee contracts passed unanimously. So did he, in fact, vote for them, or just was he not there? And then, you know, how they would turn around and give themselves the benefits that the that had, like, if the state employees negotiated a new benefit, then they would turn around and give it to themselves. It would be so interesting to know how he voted on those.
Craig.
Yeah, and I, not having covered the legislature, I don't know the answers to those questions, but I can certainly share them with our reporters in Madison who do cover the legislature.
And what is it? Tell me more about, I would imagine this is the beginning of a series of articles that you are going to be digging pretty deeply into the years that Scott Walker had in the Wisconsin Assembly, when you say in yesterday's column he was as staunch a conservative then as he is now. What have you learned about who he was and who he is that's important to all of us?
Well, we'll be, I should say, my colleagues will... Some will be looking at in greater detail about the specifics of his legislative career, talking to people and looking at the record in terms of the legislation he was involved in, the votes he cast, what kind of legislator was he. The piece that I wrote just recently was really kind of a more of a big picture look at what the numbers suggest about his place on the political spectrum. What's interesting about this sort of project that these political scientists do in measuring the ideology of state legislators is they don't start out by saying, you know, looking at votes individually and saying, well, if you voted this way, you're a conservative, and if you voted this way, you're a liberal. They're basically just looking at these voting patterns in terms of how often people are voting with their colleagues. And the more often you vote, you know, with your conservative colleagues who are like you, people like you, the more conservative a score you get. It's an interesting way to measure this. It's been used for a long time to measure members of Congress, and it's a pretty reliable way, it turns out. It relies on all the roll call data, and it allows you to kind of use thousands of votes to measure kind of where people are in relation to each other and where they fall on the left to right spectrum. So by this measure, you know, Governor Walker was more conservative than about 90% of the other members of the state assembly when he was in the assembly, which was 1993 to 2002. And then if you kind of pull back and look at the national picture of the 7,500 or so state legislators in the country, he was in his final year in the legislature, which was 2002, more conservative than 86% of them. So that kind of gives you a sense based on this one particular look of where he fits into the spectrum. So to the right of 86% of the legislators, state legislators in the country, to the left of 14%.
Let's go. Thanks, Ruth, for your call. Let's go to Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing today?
All right, Tom, how are you?
Just fine. Listen, there seems to be a very fine line between Walker the governor and Walker the candidate for president. I was pretty insulted by his terrorist comments, and I called the constituent services at his office. And Al over there, constituent services, said, well, we're not really commenting on anything that Governor Walker does as a candidate. And to me, that's just smacked of where is the accountability? If he is speaking as the governor of Wisconsin, how is he not responsible as a governor of Wisconsin? It seems like he's trying to play both sides of it without any responsibility.
Well,
thanks, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, he was, technically speaking, he was there on a political trip. The audience was the Conservative Political Action Conference. It was pretty much a political event in that sense. But you're right, it's a fine line, and the candidate, you know, people like Governor Walker have to organize themselves legally in such a way that they sort of don't, in a technical sense, kind of overlap these missions too much, but it's unavoidable. I mean, you've got, you know, he's got a political staff. He's got a staff for governor. He was at the NGA, the National Governors Association, a week ago in Washington, which was a governing event in that sense. But at the same time, he was doing political meetings in Washington as well. And so he had political staff there too. So he was kind of bouncing back and forth between these two kinds of things, and his staff in theory has to be, the political staff has to be walled off from the governing stuff, and the governing staff has to be walled off from the political stuff. So that's but unavoidably, you know, the lines get blurred, you know, it's hard to know sometimes where, you know, politics stops and starts and governing stops and starts.
So how can you govern the state of Wisconsin? I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to run for president, which, you know, better than anybody, takes this incredible effort that you're at it all the time, all these speeches all over the country. How do people govern a state when they're running for president?
Well, they obviously don't spend as much time doing it as they do when they're not running for president. So, and not only that, it's actually more complicated than that, because it's not just the amount of time you're putting in, but it's inevitable that the things you do as a candidate for higher office are going to impact and influence the things you do as a governor. So, and it's not just when you're running. It's if you have the ambition to run someday, that, you know, understandably is going to influence how you govern. So if you're a Republican governor who's got national ambitions, and you know that maybe in 4 years, there's a presidential cycle and you have an interest in running, well, that's going to affect how you govern, because you're not going to want to do things as a governor that you think might disqualify you from seeking the presidential nomination in your party, and the same thing if you're a Democrat. So it's a pretty complicated dance. It's also complicated by the fact that, you know, your public standing as governor can influence your prospects as a presidential candidate. I mean, look at Chris Christie, who's generally perceived as kind of flailing in the presidential campaign, and that's partly not just as a result of the fact that, you know, for some Republican primary voters, he's not conservative enough, but also because it doesn't look good to run for president when you're a governor who's underwater in his own state, when he's in political trouble, when things are happening on the home front that kind of muddy up your story and don't look good, and you've got a higher disapproval rate than an approval rate in your own state.
Yeah. Craig Gilbert is our guest for All Things Political. We have a couple lines open now. Tom, thanks for your call. Our number on air is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Nancy in Madison, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think, you know, this Republican juggernaut has just been a disaster for the state. And there is no interest at all in shared governance. Scott Walker did not run on this conservative candidate platform when he ran for governor. But since then, you know, I mean, he's continued with this divide and conquer program. Tommy Thompson, who was the last Republican governor, understood the value of trying to be somewhat inclusive. You know, Scott Walker has no interest in doing that. But the reason that Scott Walker continues to win every election is that the Republicans redrew the boundaries, and there is just this ridiculous gerrymandering that happened when that was done. Right now, so there's a whole program that could be done on the kind of gerrymandering that happened in the state with that. But anyway, right now what's happened is that, you know, they're killing everything that we love, from the environment to the university to doing terrible things to education. on the K through 12, you know, area, you know, mass transit, energy projects that were in the works. Now the only thing that we want to do is push more coal.
All right. Thank you very much, Nancy, for your calls. He obviously has upset a great number of people. Everybody knows that. But when she said gerrymandering, it's also true that Democrats didn't turn out to vote, did they, Craig?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there was a turnout advantage, I think, for Republicans, but it wasn't massive. I do think 2 points that she made, I mean, which have you know, some truth to them, is that we had a story today in the Journal Sentinel about some of the things that the governor has done that he didn't explicitly run on in his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is true that I would disagree when she said he didn't run on a conservative platform. Maybe I misheard her. I mean, he did run on a conservative platform, but he didn't run, for example, in 2010 on doing Act 10. And there are things he's done in this budget that he didn't run on in the 2014 campaign. So that's kind of a separate issue. The gerrymandering is a real issue in the sense that it doesn't affect the statewide elections, so it's not an explanation for how Governor Walker won his 3 elections for governor, but it is an explanation for why the Republicans enjoy the absolute lock on the legislature that they currently have and why they're able to pass some of the legislation they've been able to pass. I mean, they got elected in 2010. They were able to do things in 2011 and 2012 as a result of having won the 2010 election and having control of both chambers of the legislature. But then the map was redrawn in a way that was very favorable to Republicans. And in a good Democratic year, which 2012 was, instead of losing control of the legislature, which might have happened when you have the top of the ticket Democratic presidential candidate winning the state by 6 or 7 points, they held firm and then came back in the 2014 cycle, which was a better cycle for Republicans, and won these massive majorities. So there's no doubt that the redistricting plan has played a big role in the Republicans not only control the legislature, but the size of their majorities in a way that has allowed them to do things that they might not otherwise have been able to do. I mean, that's a big part of even the story that Governor Walker is telling about his successes to Republican and conservative audiences. That's been enabled in part by the redistricting plan that was passed.
And she made mention of cuts to public education, the UW system, environmental concerns, transportation concerns. I want Craig to comment on if he can recall a time in Wisconsin history where the policy changes have been as dramatic as they have been in the past few years. We'll welcome more on-air phone calls. Craig Gilbert is our guest, and you're listening to All Things Political, which you hear Mondays at 1 o'clock. And Craig is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Washington Bureau Chief. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and KP Whaley is joining me. This is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. So your gift right now is important, $5, $10, $15 a month. It makes this station the reliable station that it is. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we're looking still for 31 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. So help keep us on track. Your support will help keep the station strong. It will help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As you well know, we love to talk about politics, and we do so on a regular basis, not just on Mondays. We've been through a lot of presidential campaigns, gubernatorial campaigns, and this network does it better than anybody, I think. You don't get programs like this or this kind of conversation where people call in and we entertain all kinds of viewpoints on issues. Pledge by pledge, it's important on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio for you to call and pledge. Give now, WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And as a reminder, during this membership drive, you can get the new I Love WPR t-shirt as your thank you gift for a pledge of $120. That's only $10 a month, and your pledge will help support the programs that you love, and you'll really love this t-shirt.
It's a dark gray shirt. It's 100% cotton, printed here in Wisconsin. You can get size small through 2XL. Pledge now. Show your love for WPR, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, people who listen, you are the one who provides the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation comes with no strings attached, so we can invest it in programs that deliver the greatest value, really, to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air. For you and for the entire community, Public Service Radio. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and maybe your gift will just be $10 or $20 a month. Really, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. And you've probably heard the phrase, you know, think big. It's an expression that you can really put into practice by listening to and then giving back to WPR. When you listen, you get the best music, the best talk, the best news, and it really encourages you to think big.
And when you donate to keep that high-quality talk and news available to you and to your community, your gift of any amount is added to all the other gifts to make big things happen at WPR. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Kathleen, I know you have a subscription to Netflix.
I watched, I didn't watch all of it, House of Cards over the weekend. Yes, sir.
But you watched a bunch. And you know, your monthly subscription to your cell phone or your Netflix account is something that you're used to paying. And now we're asking you to support WPR just like you pay for those other services.
Absolutely. And at least, you know, with this service, we're on the air. It's there and we can talk about it together at the moment it happens. With Netflix, KP was at his desk this morning because two of us had seen some of the episodes. And he had, you know how you plug your ears and go, so I won't hear what's going on.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Well, with this service, you know, we're talking about things instantaneously and you're responding and it's great. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and thank you to our sustaining members as well, and to everyone who's given so far to this drive. If you haven't pledged yet, you still have time, but not really very much time.
No.
Our winter membership drive ends at 6 o'clock tonight. This is your last chance to support all things political, which we have every Monday. So you choose the amount. The important thing is that you make a commitment right now to the support the programs that you love. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
29 pledges to go before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can pick up that new I Love WPR t-shirt. It's yours for a pledge of $10 a month. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. If you give once a year faithfully, thank you so much. You may want to make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're like this anonymous listener who says, my all-time favorite is Kathleen Dunn. I get my boost of passionate care about the universe, about Wisconsin, and about WPR every time I listen to Kathleen. So if you appreciate Kathleen as well, give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, it's great to have an audience that thinks that the universe is worth caring about. The universe is quite a place, right, KP?
Amazing.
I know, it's an amazing place. Thank you, KP, and thanks for all of your good work. And you're in a really good mood. And you know, one thing I learned that we're going to talk about next hour is that if your mood influences your memory.
Oh.
So if you're in a good mood, you remember more.
I remember, huh?
Hey. It's good, isn't it? That's good to know. We learn so
much. We do learn too much. A lot.
Too much, maybe. Craig Gilbert is our guest. It's All Things Political, and we're welcoming your phone calls, 800-486-8655. We've mostly been talking about Governor Scott Walker because he's so much in the news, but I did, before we go back to phone calls and back to the governor, want to talk more about what appears to be a bit of dysfunction in Congress, Craig, with Homeland Security funds being okayed for only a week. What's going to happen on Friday?
Well, this is pretty unpredictable. You know, no one predicted exactly what would happen last week. So we don't know, because it involves two chambers, it involves two parties, and it involves factions within parties. particularly really a factions within the Republican Party, and whether it's kind of a hard circle to square right now, because you've got Democrats unwilling to accept conditions attached by Republicans to the Homeland Security funding, and you've got some Republicans unwilling to pass the funding without conditions. And so this is I think being viewed widely as kind of a test of the new Republican leadership in Congress, particularly on the House side, because in effect what happened on the Senate side was that Mitch McConnell kind of gave in the end to Democrats because he couldn't move a bill over a Democratic filibuster. And now it's a matter of whether John Boehner can find a formula to thread the needle within his own caucus, and that's why it's so suspenseful.
And if he doesn't find that formula, is he in trouble, do you think?
There's been some discussion of that. I don't know. I think it's some ways you could say it's kind of amazing he survived as long as he has, because it's an extremely difficult caucus to lead. Whenever you have a situation where, most of the compromises you can imagine with the other party are almost by definition unacceptable to enough members in your own caucus to prevent you from putting together a functioning majority within your own party, it's pretty hard to manage that. And, Republicans have been very reluctant to try to manage the House when they're in the majority by relying on some Democratic votes. But that's what they're faced with having to do if they can't minimize their defections.
Mm-hmm. Do your inside sources lead you to believe that Russ Feingold is going to challenge Ron Johnson?
Yes.
Really? What's the background on that? Do you know? Why has he decided to do this?
Well, I don't know if he's fully and finally decided to do it. He really hasn't talked about it. One reason he hasn't talked about it is because he's been working for the State Department, and you can't really be a political actor that way when you're working for the State Department. He's been a special envoy to Africa for 18 months, but that's about to end. So there is kind of a broad expectation within Democratic Party circles that he's going to make the run, and I don't think we're going to get an announcement overnight, because I don't know that he's 100% absolutely committed to doing it or not. But everybody expects him to do it, you don't hear a lot about other candidates right now. It's there for him if he wants to do it, and he gets to decide whether this is, after several years away from the Senate, and by most accounts, having enjoyed himself, either at writing books or teaching at a university or doing diplomacy, whether this is something campaigns, and if you win a campaign, ending up back in Washington as dysfunctional and crazy as it is, whether that's what he wants to do for the next however many years of his life.
David is our next caller for you from Lancaster. Hi, David.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I just want to echo the sentiments of my former Senator Dale Schultz, who said, Scott Walker is no conservative. He represents Citizens United, multinational outside money that has poured into this state and has controlled his elections. He's breaking unions. He's undone the ethics committee on our state Supreme Court. He represents privatization and the ending of American democracy as we know it. But just say, as he undercuts your support on Wisconsin Public Radio, think about how you use the word conservative. Scott Walker is no conservative. That's what I have.
So how do you classify him, David?
He's a rabid Tea Party representative of corporate interest that wants to privatize this state and make it the template for America.
Craig, you talked about his conservatism in yesterday's piece in the Journal Sentinel. How would you label him?
Well, I think there is kind of a semantic argument over what it means to be a conservative. The meaning always changes depending on whether you're talking about the classic, meaning of the word as implying, some degree of kind of, I think, respect for tradition and precedent and caution. And then there's also the meaning, which is just what's the functional political coalition that we call the conservative coalition in politics, and what are the what's the constellation of issue positions that are associated with that. And by that definition, he's certainly a conservative. When you think about he pretty much across the board kind of checks the boxes on conservative issues. The one where he didn't look like he necessarily checked the box immigration, he's now said he's now kind of shifted his position in a more conservative direction. So he's pretty much, you know, up and down the line taking what we popularly think of as conservative positions, again, not meaning conservative in maybe not conservative in the one sense of that the caller means it, but in the sense that we talk about a conservative party and a liberal party, or a conservative movement and a progressive movement, and conservative issue positions and liberal issue positions, he's certainly pretty much down the line pretty conservative.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I don't understand, and we have to be brief because we are in a pledge drive here and we got to make money for ourselves, let's face it. But it seems to me as though when you look at polls and when you look at what a lot of political analysts have been saying, that they want parties to move toward the center. That's where the American public is. That's who people are going to vote for ultimately. And if you have very conservative or very liberal ideas, you don't have much of a chance of being elected president or any kind of national office. Whatever happened to that idea?
Well, we could have a very long discussion about that. But the political landscape has changed in a lot of ways. The parties, the internal makeup of the parties has changed. The way politics is practiced has changed in some respects. And so kind of the incentives have changed. And, so now I think it's more possible, more likely, you know, that the parties are going to produce, more ideological candidates, but it's also more possible to kind of win elections without necessarily having centrist positions. Mm-hmm. Or it may be that, you know, and it also depends on, you know, which issues you're leading with. You know, Scott Walker, like we talked about, has a lot of different conservative positions. He doesn't emphasize them all, doesn't lead with them all. You know, he may be perceived by some voters as being very, very conservative, but he may be perceived by other voters as being not as conservative. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of it, too. But it would take a long time, I think, to go through the changes in the political process and the changes in kind of the way people vote and the way the parties work to sort of kind of explain how the world, you know, why the world is different than it was 20 years ago.
Well, you're on. We'll talk about that next time, if you don't mind.
Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Craig. Craig Gilbert, our guest. He is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Washington Bureau Chief, has been writing extensively about CPAC at their convention over the weekend and writing about the governor of the state and his probable presidential run. I love talking politics. Many of you do, too. You have wonderful opinions and thoughts about this. You're actively engaged in the democratic process. KP Whaley is joining me, and this is a democratic process as well. This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is the last day of our winter membership drive, so you only have a little over an hour to pledge to this particular program. If you've been meaning to give, please do it now. The drive ends today. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we still do need about 20 more pledges in the next few minutes to keep us on track. So make your gift to support the station and this program, all the things that you love from WPR.
Take a few minutes to make this hour, this great political conversation. Craig is a terrific political journalist. Make it possible. Choose a gift that works for you and then make a pledge. Pretty easy. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And again, as an added incentive, we do have the T-shirt you can pick up for a $10 a month pledge. That's a $120 one-time gift. It's a dark gray, USA-made, printed in Wisconsin T-shirt that says, I heart WPR. You can wear it around town, show your pride and love for WPR. Air fist bump friends that had the same one.
You know, we've worked together so long that we frequently wear the same colors to work now.
Without thinking.
I know. So
I'm sure we'll
shirts.
Be seen in those shirts.
I think you're right. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. KP Whaley is joining me. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever you choose, it's okay.
And, you know, you can also join us as a 9XM Leadership Circle if you are able to give $100 a month. That's a $1,200 a year pledge, and it will provide a very important piece of funding for this program and all the programs that we rely on.
Absolutely. You get to choose how much you pay for your listening. You know that you'll tune in day after day, week after week, year after year. This station, I don't think maybe many of you realize, we'll soon be celebrating our 100th birthday.
Amazing.
That's a big birthday party. It hasn't happened yet, but think of that. All of those years, all of that education. Give now for the past 100 years and 100 years to come. You know it's worth it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. 20 pledges to go. Let's move that number.
That's right. The beauty of contributing to WPR is that it's always here. It's always a great value. You choose the amount. You know, we know you have a lot of trouble making money in this economy, and we appreciate it greatly. But if you appreciate what we do here as well, give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And talk about, you know, what we do. This is a perfect example of the variety of guests of all political persuasions that KP books for you and Scotty books for you that are on during this hour. Conservatives, liberals, arch-conservatives, arch-liberals, progressives, they all find their way to these microphones for a discussion of all things political, and that's democracy.
And
that's
you can join
like
in
it.
The conversation as
yes,
well and
can.
Ask questions of these guests as well. So if you appreciate that, pledge now, 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much, KP, for all you do. Please pledge now. Help us reach that goal, 888-202-2552. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour, Katie Mattson for on-air production, and Lisa Nalbandian for production work. Thanks for pledging. Mm-hmm.